Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 85 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Peyton Stewart.
These particular programs were low enrollment.
Five programs at Moorhead State University will be closed.
Attorney Eric Kahn has been sentenced for his escape to South America.
A Moorhead man wanted by police has been captured.
The city of Catlettsburg has a new mayor.
The first Friday outdoor market is taking place at the Rowan County Arts Center this afternoon.
In sports, Rowan and Fleming County football face off tonight at 7:30.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 30% chance of showers tonight with lows around mid-60s. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Disgraced attorney Eric Kahn has been sentenced to an additional 15 years in federal prison for his escape attempt. LEX 18 reports as part of his new deal, Kahn had to plead guilty to three conspiracy-related charges. He was already facing 12 years in prison for his role in a massive Social Security fraud scheme before he fled to Central America. That brings Kahn's total sentence to 27 years. He will also have to pay Social Security back more than $73 million. The battle wages on for clients of Kahn who lost their Social Security disability. Many are still facing hearings to determine if they qualify for their benefits.
A Moorhead man who was wanted by police has been captured. According to WYMT, 36-year-old Jason Reynolds was found by Kentucky State Police on account of several eyewitness tips. Among other charges, Reynolds faced two charges of attempted murder of a police officer. He is currently lodged in the Rowan County Detention Center.
A man has been charged in connection with a deadly arson-related house fire in Ashland. The Daily Independent reports that Boyd County Commonwealth Attorney's Office has charged 33-year-old Christopher Childers of Ashland with first-degree arson. The fire happened just before 3 a.m. on Thursday in the 1200 block of Gallagher Drive. When firefighters arrived, neighbors told them someone could still be inside. After crews put the fire out, they say the roof fell in, and eventually they found a woman's body. No further information has been released about the victim.
A Southern Kentucky woman accused of murdering her husband and two teenage daughters will appear in court in 2 weeks. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
Kentucky State Police say Courtney Taylor shot and killed her husband, 41-year-old Larry, and her two daughters, 13-year-old Jolie and 18-year-old Jesse, at the beginning of 2017. She also raised her gun at two Whitley County Sheriff's deputies. Taylor was charged with three counts of capital murder and will appear before a judge on September 18th. Her trial is currently set for November in Whitley County. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty in Taylor's case. I'm Haley Hansen.
Deputies arrested a Martin County woman yesterday after social service workers investigated a child's living conditions. According to WYMT, social services workers responded to a complaint that a child was in the care of a woman who was under the influence. The caller said the child had not eaten for an unspecified amount of time. Deputies assisting social services said Clara Osborne showed signs of being intoxicated when they arrived. Osborne told authorities she had smoked meth late the previous night and had not slept. Osborne had a 3-year-old child with her, and social services took the toddler into custody. Osborne faces charges of public intoxication and endangering the welfare of a minor. We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Catlettsburg City Council held an emergency meeting Thursday night to discuss how to move forward after the death of former Mayor Randall Peterman, who passed away August 29th. Council members tell WSAZ they met to elect an interim mayor who would hold the position until a new mayor is elected in November. City officials say part of the urgency to select an interim mayor is due to sewer and water expansion projects, which involve loans and grants that require a mayor's signature for approval. Catlettsburg City Council currently has 5 council members and 1 vacant position. They nominated 2 people, including one who is the only candidate currently running for mayor, and the other a current council member who was excluded from the vote. The 4 remaining councilmen ended up in a tie and were unable to elect one of the nominees. If no appointment is made within 30 days after the death of the former mayor, the governor will appoint an interim mayor.
The Morehead State University Board of Regents voted to close 5 programs during its quarterly meeting on Tuesday. 4 of the 5 have to do with education, including licensed counseling and teacher certification in health and physical education, as well as a combined program with certification. The astronomy minor was also closed. MSU President Dr. Jay Morgan says the board's actions were the final step in the process.
Some of these programs, there's 5 of them, have been what I'll call en route for closure over a period of time. This is the end of the process of notification to our governing board locally, and then we're also in the process of reporting these. And some may have already been reported already. You can see the status there. We also must report these to our accreditors.
Morgan said the program for counseling needed to be accredited by state law, and the process of doing that was cost prohibitive. According to the documents provided to the board, no students were enrolled in the Bachelor of Arts in Health Education or the Bachelor of Arts in Physical Education major. The documents cite low enrollment in the combined program.
The First Friday Outdoor Market is scheduled for Friday at the Rowan County Arts Center. The monthly event features local farmers, artists, and crafters from 4 to 7 p.m. Arts Center Director Ash Gillum says the event will feature a variety of items for purchase.
We'll have our produce from our local farmers. We usually have a booth for candles and soap and body scrub and woodworking. And sometimes we'll have the garden club sometimes shows up. I don't know if they'll be here this Friday. As of right now, they haven't signed up. But it's an interesting mix. I always like to call it like Farmer's Market Plus.
Gillum says in the event of rain, the First Friday Outdoor Market will be moved inside the Arts Center.
Big Sandy Community and Technical College in Pike County will be hosting the first ever Appalachian Storytelling Night on Saturday. The event is presented by Gearhart Communications and Appalachian Wireless and will feature a slew of storytellers at the Big Sandy campus. Professor of Human Services Tammy Ball talks about the 3 storytellers presenting that night.
Theme for the night is Appalachian. Ray Mendenhall tells folk tales. He tells jack tales. Karen Dollinger does too. She teaches for UPike. It looks like she is going to be more of a maybe old Irish or old Scottish tales. And Hillary Spangler is a musician, a visual artist, a director and a producer and an activist. And she's interested in rural and urban and international art practice.
Ball says the event has been a pet project of hers for a long time, and she hopes to see it grow into an annual celebration. The event begins at 6 p.m. Admission is $5 for adults and free for children under 12. Tickets can be purchased at the door.
The Rowan County High School Band is looking for community sponsorships. With marching band competitors kicking off this weekend, the Marching Vikings are still trying to find funds for travel and other necessities. Band booster president Nadine Moulin says the group is asking for businesses or individuals in the community to support the program.
Not all the students have instruments. You might assume that. So part of it would go towards instruments, maintaining the instruments, maintaining the uniforms. We have beautiful new uniforms, but they need maintenance and care, as do the instruments. We need music stands. We have other props that go into our marching band experience. Those cost money.
To donate to the Rowan County Band Program, you can send a check to P.O. Box 1324 in Morehead.
According to a recent audit, the Breathitt County School District has been inappropriately punishing disabled students. WYMT reports the district has been removing mentally disabled students from the classroom or suspending them and then marking it as a voluntary absence. Interim Kentucky Commissioner Wayne Lewis says Breathitt County schools have shown a pattern of significant lack of efficiency and effectiveness. Parents are also showing outrage with the district's behavior. One local mother, who is also an aunt to some special needs children, says students with mental disabilities can't be treated in the same manner as other students in the school.
With a special needs child, you have double or triple the time that you would have to put in with a student that does not have a disability or a special need. You just have to put more time in.
She says one potential fix to issues like those would be to make sure faculty and staff are properly trained to deal with students with mental disabilities.
Grayson Mayor George Steele has seen the city undergo a number of improvements during his 12 years in office. New police and fire departments have been built, and Grayson's Emergency Management Division has transitioned from a grassroots effort into one of the most well-trained groups in the region. Additionally, Steele says there's another unit he's particularly proud of having seen come to fruition during his tenure as mayor.
Well, we also now have a search and rescue diving team and swimming team that has been really active in our lakes this summer, and they're just a fantastic group of young men that have really come together to create a really good diving rescue and recovery team.
The city's dive team was established in 2010. Since then, members have undergone extensive training, earning an advanced diving and swift water rescue certifications. To learn more about the Grayson Dive Team, visit graysonfire.com/dive-team.
The 12th Street Bridge in Ashland will close tomorrow for repairs. The preventative maintenance project is expected to take 2 months. Alan Blair is the information officer at the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet. He says drivers will detour to an adjacent bridge that will be converted for two-way traffic.
Our detour will be just basically take the other bridge across from Ohio to Kentucky. Now, that will only be one-lane traffic compared to the two lanes on this bridge that we're closing. So, there will be some backups. There will be some traffic congestion, and we just remind people to expect that, especially during the morning and afternoon rush hours.
Blair says it is necessary to repair the bridge now to prevent any major issues in the future.
Taking a look at the weather, tonight there's a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low around 67. Saturday, it's going to be mostly cloudy with a high near 81. Saturday night, showers are likely. It'll be mostly cloudy with a low near 65. Sunday, showers likely with thunderstorms also possible. Sunday night, showers likely, possibly a thunderstorm, cloudy with a low around 65. Monday, showers are likely, mainly before 9 a.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 65. Taking a look at the temperatures, in Flemingsburg it's 83, in Lexington it's 86, in Ashland it's 90 degrees, in Winchester it's 87, in Inez it's 87, and here on the campus of Morehead State University it's 85 degrees.
On our feature segment today, commentator John Modaff wonders if one of the pillars of perception is crumbling because seeing and hearing can no longer mean believing.
Technology has always existed to blend elements in a way that results in a photo or film of something that never happened. But until lately, the process was messy, expensive, difficult, and hard to pull off in a convincing way. Today, with the advent of augmented reality software and an amazing range of apps that allow blending reality with stored images and moving objects, we've entered a brave new world of visualization. With ease, with next to no expense, and with highly convincing results, we can now blend what in reality was never blended. We can easily create video of people doing things they never did and photographs of moments that never occurred. And while it may be possible to analyze and detect such imagery, it is expensive and difficult to detect it. In other words, when it comes to digital imagery, we can no longer believe our eyes. One might seem naive to be waking up to this just now, given that image manipulation has been a problem in news for quite some time. You may remember the case of the award-winning photographer who, feeling pressure to post impressive shots from the Gulf War, decided to Photoshop several images together into one impressive but utterly false image. It took a while, but he was caught and people were outraged. Now, nearly 20 years later, any kid with an iPhone can do the same sort of composite lying for the eyes, and the power has moved to video. Just the other day, I filmed an explosive missile streaking out of the sky and destroying my lawnmower shed. But certain not-so-ridiculous movies are possible with great ease, such as superimposing certain faces on bodies that are misbehaving, or manipulating video and audio to indicate things were said and done that were never said and done, at least not by people in the film. Add to all of this the fact that we are accustomed now to settling for low-quality footage as evidence, as viewers. Body cams, car dash cams, surveillance cams that take a frame every few seconds in low resolution, all of these make up the bulk of the cameras that produce a video that is used to present so-called real-life evidence of human behavior. The lower quality, low fidelity is not only a technical fact, it makes manipulation easier and detection of manipulation more difficult. And yet, we are acclimated to this low-quality issue, overlook it, so to speak, and for the time being tend to be convinced of its authenticity somehow because it is grainy and appears to be raw. These manipulations flow together with actual genuine footage and photos and take on the patina of authenticity by proximity. Here's the takeaway. If a story you are reading needs a video or a photo to push you over the edge from disbelief to belief, you might want to pause for a moment. Used to be seeing was believing, right, Thomas? But today seeing is just seeing, at least when it comes to visual media, and is no longer a basis for belief. We must engage our other senses, including our senses of history, logic, human nature, and reason. Seeing as believing? No. Seeing as the start of an investigation of manipulation and nonsense, our new standard? Yes, 'tis a shame, for we have lost one of the last methods we had for knowing what was real. I'm John Modaff.
Dr. John Modaff is a professor of speech here at Morehead State University. It's 4:47 and 85 degrees here on the campus of our dear old MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Peyton Stewart, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this lovely Friday afternoon. Joe Lewis has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more are available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
A very pleasant good afternoon to you. With a look at your WMKY Sports Report, I'm Joe Lewis. The Rowan County Football Vikings continue play tonight when they take on Fleming at home at 7:30. Fleming is coming off a 60-13 loss at Greenup County last week, but head coach Bill Spencer says despite the loss, the Panthers have been showing much improvement in their passing game.
Well, I think our offense, our passing game, has progressively gotten better each week. Even in our last week's game, we didn't convert it into a lot of points, but we did move the ball really well. So I'm hoping that our quarterback continues to develop and that we continue to have success in the passing game.
The Vikings are currently 2-1 on the year and will look to score their third win tonight. East Carter is off to a hot start for the second year in a row and could be headed for a major district showdown with Greenup County in a couple of weeks. But Raiders head coach Tim Champlin says his team isn't looking ahead. They take on cross-county rival West Carter tonight, and Champlin says there are some things his team needs to improve on if they hope to beat the Comets on the road.
We've turned the ball over a lot more than we want to. So that's going to be a major factor for us. I think is holding on to the football and putting together long drives and keeping West Carter's offense off the field.
West Carter comes into its home opener hoping to score its first victory of the year. The Comets are coming off a 49-13 loss at Raceland last week and fell just short against Powell County in the season opener, losing 31-27 on August 24th. Kickoff in Olive Hill is set for 7:30 p.m. tonight. The Morehead State Football Eagles open their home schedule tomorrow. They host Ohio's Mount St. Joseph University, who's coming off a 59-21 win over Capital that saw quarterback Chayton Tomlin throw 7 touchdown passes. With the Lions putting up that kind of offense, Eagles head coach Rob Tenyer expects a hard-fought game on Saturday.
I think that we got to be more efficient in week 2. And we're playing a good football team. A team knows how to win games. and traditionally really strong and very well coached. But I'm excited to have a game at home.
MSU is coming off a tough 49-23 loss on the road at EKU in last week's season opener that saw the team put up a gritty first half performance before losing steam midway through the third quarter. Kickoff from Jane Stadium is at 6:05 tomorrow night. The game will also be broadcast on ESPN+. The NFL is officially back. A late score by Jay Ajayi and a goal line stand to end the game gave the Philadelphia Eagles a win to begin their Super Bowl title defense. Ajayi scored the winning touchdown with 2:19 remaining as the Eagles pulled out an 18-12 win over the Atlanta Falcons in a rematch of last year's NFC divisional round. The Falcons led 12-10 until Ajayi broke through with an 11-yard run for a touchdown and cracked the end zone again for a two-point conversion. He also rushed for a 1-yard score and finished with 62 yards on 15 carries. In other NFL news, rookie Baltimore Ravens kicker Kari Vedvik was injured in an apparent assault. He has been released from the hospital and is expected to cooperate with police. Team spokesman Kevin Bryan told the Baltimore Sun on Thursday that Vedvik suffered a bruise to the back of his head and significant facial injuries. The Morehead State Volleyball Eagles are on the road today to start the Blue and Gold Tournament in Toledo, Ohio. Eagles coach Jamie Gordon says that one key to their success has been their offensive efficiency, but he notes that to continue winning, his defense has to keep getting better.
I think our pins have done a really good job of recognizing when they can swing to terminate and when they just need to challenge the opponent and how do we put ourselves in the best position to set up defensively. I think we're still trying to figure out some of the flow between our front row defense from the blocking standpoint, but also how the back row is kind of stepping into some gaps. And hopefully this weekend we can continue to make some strides.
The Eagles are 5-2 so far this season after falling to Marshall and Wright State. Morehead starts play this evening at 7 when they take on the Toledo Rockets. The Rowan County Lady Vikings are creeping up the regional rankings. The volleyball team went 5-2 in the last week and travels to the Woodford County Invitational tonight. Head coach Steve Walter says his team is ready to face off with some tough competition.
Wherever we end up in the overall bracket, we're basically going to be playing people that are out of the region that we never really get a chance to see. So we try to make a challenging schedule because really, you can have a great record and we do have a really good record so far at 9-2, but we try to train for the postseason.
The Lady Vikings face Bardstown and Scott County at 6:45 and 8 p.m. respectively tonight. Rowan will play the host school at 11:30 tomorrow morning. The Morehead State soccer team begins to wrap up the non-conference portion of its schedule as they embark on a two-game road trip with matches at Kent State and Duquesne. Kent State welcomes the Eagles to Dick Stadium tonight, sporting a 2-3-1 mark, and is also on a losing skid having dropped its last two outings. Duquesne currently sits at 2-3 overall in 2018. The Dukes fell to Pittsburgh Thursday night on the road 2-0. The match will be the first meeting ever between the schools on the soccer field. The Vikings boys soccer team is ranked number one in the region so far this season, with just a month left before postseason tournament play. Rowan is 8-1 with 3 regional wins. They host the Kings of the Mountains tournament this weekend, facing off with South Laurel Saturday at 8 p.m. and Corbin Sunday at 3:30. East Carter and South Laurel open the tournament with a 1 p.m. game Saturday. Lawrence and Bath counties face off at 3 p.m., and East Carter plays Corbin at 6 p.m. Another regional boys soccer action tomorrow. Greenup County travels to Portsmouth West for a 10 a.m. matchup, and the Boyd County Lions host Frederick Douglass at 8 p.m. In regional girls soccer action on Saturday, Boyd County hosts Pendleton County at 11 a.m., Ashland Blazer hosts Huntington at noon, and Russell travels to Tate's Creek for a 5 p.m. matchup. And that's your look at sports for WMKY. I'm Joe Lewis.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics. Football hosts Mount St. Joseph tomorrow. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. Soccer's next home match is Friday, September 14th, against Eastern Illinois, and volleyball hosts Jacksonville State on Friday, September 21st. More information from the MSU Eagle Ticket Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the National Offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks fell, capping off a volatile week for investors as rising trade fears and a tech sell-off led to broad weekly losses. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a loss of 79.33 at 25,916.54. The S&P 500 was down 6.37 at 2,871.68. The NASDAQ Composite down 20.18 after being up much of the day, finishing the week at 7,902.54. The NASDAQ was led by declines in your big tech names such as Apple, Amazon, and Google parent Alphabet. The tech-heavy index posted its fourth straight loss, the first time since April, and its worst start to September since 2008. Among S&P 500 groups today, utilities and real estate both dropped more than 1% on higher interest rates in the U.S. government bond market. President Trump, speaking from Air Force One, said today the U.S. is ready to slap tariffs on an additional $267 billion worth of Chinese goods. His remarks came after a deadline for comments, today regarding tariffs on another $200 billion in Chinese goods, which of course passed actually last night at 12 o'clock. And this pressured the iShares China Large Cap ETF trading in New York today. This tracks certain Chinese stocks, and this fell close to 1.1%. And, of course, it took a very big drop after the president's comments from Air Force One were published. Apple dropped almost 1% after the company told the U.S. government the proposed tariffs on Chinese goods would impact several Apple products. And Apple shares under pressure almost all day today from these trade issues. Wall Street was also under pressure after strong wage data stoked fears of tighter monetary policy in the U.S. Average hourly earnings rose almost 3% for the month on an annualized basis, marking the largest jump since 2009, and the U.S. economy added 201,000 jobs in August, which was more than the expected increase of 191,000. Tesla stock dropped almost 9% after the company's chief accounting officer resigned from his post, saying in a statement that he left because of the level of public attention placed on the company. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.1% at $67.84 a barrel. Gold was down 0.2% at $1,201.90 an ounce. In Europe, stocks were up slightly, with the Stock 600 index finishing with a gain of 0.1%. In Asia, most stock markets there were under pressure today. The Nikkei was down 0.8%, and South Korea's Kospi was down 0.25%. The Shanghai Composite did manage a gain of 0.4%, and among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were ExxonMobil and Pfizer, and the worst performers were Intel and Travelers. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Broadcom and Ulta Beauty, while the worst performers were T. Rowe Price and Insight. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global down 59 cents at $83.83, CSX down 43 cents at $73.63, AEP was down 68 cents at $72.65, AK Steel down 4 cents at $4.19, Marathon Petroleum down 29 cents at $82.51, and Kroger was down 18 cents to finish at $32.38. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Rowan County Farmers Market, a certified Kentucky Proud Market. 11 a.m. Wednesdays and Saturdays in downtown Moorhead on U.S. 60 near the City Park. The Rowan County Farmers Market offers homegrown fruits, vegetables, and baked goods, accepting WIC and Senior Farmers Market nutrition vouchers, and participating in the Community Farm Alliance Double Dollars program. Supporting local farmers, the Rowan County Farmers Market is Kentucky Proud.
Taking a quick look at some events coming up in the region, the Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, September 10th, on the first floor of the Center for Health, Education, and Research in Moorhead. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or related disorders are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and new information about caregiving issues. And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition today. We had help from Joe Lewis, Tanner Boyd, Cody Robinson, Chaz Jenkins, Kenzie Thompson, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Peyton Stewart and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.